Praise God. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. Praise God. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And we're just going to continue on. We've been discussing spiritual aspects. We've talked about faith. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about faith and prayer. And we've talked about prayer again. We've talked about praying in the Spirit. We've talked about the power of prayer. Tonight I simply want to talk to you about the power of preaching. Amen. The power of preaching. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. We're asking you, Lord, that you would anoint your word, that your Spirit would move amongst us and upon us, and that this word would fall upon good grounds of our hearts. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to take this word to thought, Lord God, to put it into our spirits, to bury it there deeply, God, that it would take root and grow strongly before you. I pray, God, that you would anoint our ears, give us a heart to receive it, ears to hear it, Lord. And we will be quick to give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The preacher creature is an individual, a man, that God has used, depended upon throughout all of time. And you can get into your Bibles and you can see a couple of different offices that were held. You can see the priest and you can see the prophets. And they were two different individuals, obviously. The priests were of the Levitical family. The prophets didn't necessarily have to be of the Levitical family, but we see many that were anointed as the prophets born and to be prophets. Samuel was a prophet. There were many other prophets that was there. You have the major prophets. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. You've got Daniel. And then you have the minor prophets and throughout your Old Testament, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Habakkuk, Obadiah, and some of the others that are there, Malachi, you've got those. But the deal is that all of these prophets were raised up for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to go and to call God's people back unto repentance. Amen. Amen. It was to lead his people in the way that they should go. And when they would go off chasing after foreign deities and false gods, idols and such, and instead of God giving them, and God did give them over to their idols and to the lust of their flesh, but instead of just giving up on them completely, at some point in time, God raised up a prophet to go and to preach to them, to speak unto them, and to call them back unto repentance. We know that the preacher is God's gift unto his church. Amen. Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that he gave gifts unto the church. Amen. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And these gifts were for the edification of the church, or for the bettering of the church. Amen. To cause the church to be better, to do good. Amen. This was their role. And we would see that these roles would differ. The prophet was an individual that was ordained by God. and he represented God unto the people. Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Nathan, Gad, Ahijah, Jehu, Elisha, Elijah, and all of the other major prophets that we've already talked about. They were the ones that was appointed by God to go speak to the people, and they represented the mind of God. But the priests were completely different individuals. The priest represented the people unto God. The prophet represented God unto the people, and the priest represented the people unto God. Amen. And we would see that the priest would bring the sacrifice and kill it, and then he would take that blood representing the sins of mankind in unto God, and he would sprinkle that blood there. Praise God. And then we had people that was like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a priest after his own right. His father being of the Levitical tribe and being the high priest at a time. And John the Baptist could have filled that office of the priest. Amen. But he was also a prophet. Amen. A voice in the wilderness crying out and bringing forth a message of repentance. Telling the people, amen, who hath warned you of the wrath of God to come. Go back, and bring forth fruits, meet unto repentance before that I would baptize you. This individual became known as the preacher. He was the one that represented God unto the people, but he would also be the one that would represent the people unto God. Amen. This preacher was the one that Paul wrote to the Hebrews and said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Thank God for the preacher that will preach truth unto us. Amen. It's truth that's going to set you free. It's truth that's going to save you in, amen, the resurrection. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And oftentimes the things pertaining to God are classified as a mystery, which causes the hearer, the individual, to oftentimes proclaim, I don't understand. Some people would say, I don't understand why that he said that. Some would say, I don't understand the message. Some would say, I don't understand where he's coming from. I don't understand his methods. I don't understand his motive. I don't understand. Amen. The preacher was a unique individual, and he oftentimes was not understood. Amen. We saw that there were preachers that pulled their hair out, and I'll stop with all of the examples there because I don't plan on chasing or to doing some of the other things that they did, to praise God. But they were oftentimes misunderstood because of the word that they brought. Amen. Just signifying God was putting it forth in a manner that if you wanted to understand, you could. You got to give yourself unto it to be able to understand it. Amen. As I said, that many of the things concerning God were related or referred to as mysteries. We would see the mysteries of God in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1. The mystery of the kingdom of God. Matthew 13 and 11, the mystery of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, the mystery of his will, Ephesians 1 and 9, the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3 and 4, the mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6 and 19, the mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, the mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy 3 and 16, and the mystery of the seven stars, Revelations 1 and 9. Amen. The mystery, in other words, amen, it is not exactly understandable at first sight. When you began to think about a mystery book, and you began to delve off into that, and you began to read that book, you come into knowledge or understanding concerning the characters, and soon you find out that there is a bad guy, and there is a good guy, and just when you think you've got it figured out, the plot
twist, and it creates the mystery, and the detective doesn't know what's going on, and he's trying to decipher and trying to break the mystery so that he would be able to arrest the perpetrator and bring them to justice. Amen. And just as that, the glorious gospel of God is considered to be a mystery. Amen. Even Jesus himself often taught in mysteries. He called them parables, but yet they were not understood by the general consensus. Amen. They had no idea what he was speaking of when he spoke concerning the sower that went out to sow. Amen. But when he talked to his disciples, he said, unto you, it is to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he began to explain the mystery. The mystery just simply means that it is understandable. Amen. That it can be broken. Amen. Some people, false doctrines and other religions state that the mystery of godliness is a mystery, and it cannot be understood, that the Godhead cannot be understood. But yet Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 20 says that even the Godhead can be understood, that it is without question. Ephesians tells us that the mystery of God hath been revealed unto us, and it is no longer a mystery. 1 Timothy 3 and 16 reveals that mystery, for great is the mystery of godliness. But God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Amen. And it goes on and on explaining the mystery of godliness. We understand the mystery of godliness as God manifest in the flesh. Amen. But in Thessalonians, Paul talked about the mystery of iniquity, which would simply be Satan's manifesting himself through the flesh. Praise God. But all of these were mysteries. Even the preacher was described to be a mystery concerning the mystery of the seven stars. Amen. The seven stars were the pastors that were over the churches that were in Asia. Amen. The pastors we see were in the right hand of God, having the power and the authority with God, but yet they were a mysterious creature and not understanding everything. But the Bible teaches us that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believe what? Believe the mystery. There is an answer to the mystery. The mystery of the gospel, amen, has been declared unto us, that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning in Jerusalem, and that they would be baptized in the name of Jesus, and that they would all be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a mystery. I don't understand how red blood washes a black's heart white as snow. I don't understand how the all-knowing God can forget our sins and forgive us and throw them as far as the east is from the west. But I understand that he is able, and that there is nothing that he cannot do. And you've got to get that revelation as well. And you get that revelation when you hear the preaching of the Word of God. You begin to understand the mind of God. You begin to understand the will of God. You begin to understand the heartbeat of God when God begins to speak to you through the office of a preacher.
Praise God. Amen. Paul declared unto the Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to
to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the light of the knowledge, he is revealing the mystery of God, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. God chose preaching to bring us unto him. God chose preaching, amen, to cause you to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. God calls and chose preaching to bring you to a place of repentance. And honey, you ain't going to repent if a preacher doesn't get down into your business. I said there ain't no conviction that's going to come upon you if a preacher is just making you feel good in your sin. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel, amen, for a preacher that'll just make you feel good while you're sinning. Give me a preacher that'll stand up and preach the truth, that'll preach without fear and without favor, not worried about how much money you pay or how much money you don't pay. You know why? Because you've got a soul that'll spend eternity somewhere. And it's only preaching that's going to awaken that soul to cry out unto the God Almighty.
Let's love him today. Man, you may have felt the drawing of God to come to the house of God. But it was preaching that called you and drew you to an altar. It was preaching that awoke your conscience, knowing that you needed to do something lest that you would be lost. We see an example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 17. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish a mystery. It is foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the mystery revealed. It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Those that feel like they have it all figured out. Those that feel like they know all things. Those that want to dictate and say what's right and what's wrong. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? The learned and the scholarly? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolishness of the foolish? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In other words, through all of their wisdom, God was still a mystery unto them. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. To save them that believe. Amen. There would be those that would say, I just don't understand. Paul goes on in chapter number 2, and he said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. It's simply a mystery to him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Somewhere or another, preaching being a spiritual aspect connects with the spiritual soul. And the soul begins to awaken up and begins to scream out on the inside, I need God. It wasn't because that we could put all the pieces in order, but see through a glass darkly, we begin to understand and we begin to see the need for God. You didn't have to understand the oneness of God to get the Holy Ghost. You didn't have to understand all the matters of holiness to get the Holy Ghost. But when you understood that you needed the Holy Ghost, you began to seek after God. And as you sought after God, God brought revelation.
revelation to you through the preaching of the Word of God. And as the preacher began to preach, you began to realize some things. You began to say, hey, there's some things that I need to do, and there's some things that I don't need to do. What was that? It's the power of preaching. It's God coming down, talking to you, saying, hey, I love you, I want to save you, but you got to do some things.
Paul said that I had not known to lust, I had not known to covet, except the Bible said that thou shalt not covet. I had not known that I should not lust, except for the Bible. The Word came and said that I should not covet. Praise God. Somebody began preaching unto him. Somebody began teaching unto him. Praise God. Just because you get the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that everything is totally understood. Praise God. We need preaching. And even Paul said, he said, to repeat myself unto you. I don't remember exactly, my mind just went blank. Amen. But he said, it's not grievous. He said, but for you it's safe. We need to hear preaching about repentance oftentimes. We need to hear preaching about the blood oftentimes. We need to hear preaching about the love of God oftentimes. But we also need to hear preaching about the law of God. Friend, you've got to have the love of God, and you've got to have the law of God. And there's too many preachers want to preach just love, 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 and they don't want to talk about the law. When Jesus said, they that are without the law shall be judged, amen, by the law, amen, they're still going to be judged. And then we that have the law are going to be judged by that law. Oh, preacher, don't hold back. Tell me what I got to do to be saved. And if there's some soft liberal out there that wants to try to wine and dine my soul, stand upon that wall and declare the Word of God, declaring to me when danger is coming around. I may not understand it. It's a mystery, but it's got the power to set me free. Praise God. Amen, amen. That mystery just simply means that it can be understood. It's not something that you're just going to stumble upon the answer to, but you're going to search, you're going to look, you're going to investigate to find the correct answer. In the New Testament, mystery refers to the secret that is revealed by God to His servants through His Spirit. You're not going to stumble upon the revelation of spiritual mysteries, but you're going to have to be spiritual to understand it. Because the carnal mind, the ladies, the carnal mind is going to say, what's wrong with me cutting my hair? I don't understand. I don't understand why cutting my hair is wrong. That's what the carnal mind says. The carnal mind wants to reason it all away. The carnal mind says, that was for back then, back in the day. That was in biblical time for the prostitutes and stuff. Hello? If it represented prostitutes and whoredom in the Bible days, what changed? God didn't. It's just the common accepted thing. You say, well, it is. It's just the common accepted thing. Okay, so homosexuality is the common accepted thing now. Is that okay? Well, the government has allowed it. The government has said that it's okay. Is it okay? No, it's not okay. Just because the government signs laws and decrees and says, amen, we the people have stated that, we the people didn't say anything. We the people said we don't want it. It's no longer government by the people for the people. But nevertheless, just because the government signs in and says, it is now okay for a man to marry a man and for a woman to marry a woman, that doesn't make it okay. It's still wrong. It's still wrong. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. For a woman to say, you know what? I don't understand why it's wrong for a woman to wear pants. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't make the law. I don't have the power to change it. I just got the power to preach it. I have the commandment to preach it. For the Bible still states that for a man to wear that which pertaineth unto woman is an abomination. And for a woman to wear that which pertaineth unto a man, it is an abomination. Amen. So the lady said, I had this conversation with a girl in high school one time in our American history class. And we were talking, and she said, I'm wearing women's pants. And I said, I'll wear a man's dress tomorrow. And she kind of looked at me, and she said, And I said, what's the difference? It's just different. No, it's not just different. But it's the power of preaching that awakens something within inside of us. Amen. It awakens the soul. Amen. The soul is content. Amen. I don't want to be content. I want preaching to affect me. Amen. Even as the pastor, even as a preacher, as an evangelist, as just a minister, I want preaching to affect me. I want preaching to convict me. I want preaching to call me closer. I want preaching to challenge me. Amen. I said, I need preaching to challenge me. Praise God. But now let's get to where I want to go here tonight, and I'm not going to be much longer. I said, Chris is laughing. What's funny? You hush. Amen. But we see the valley of dry bones, and we see the preacher, the prophet Ezekiel. And the Lord walked up to Ezekiel, and he asked Ezekiel, he said, son of man, can these bones live? And the preacher said, it's a mystery. Thou knowest, I don't. Common sense says no. But when common sense meets miraculous, it's possible. Can they live? You know. You have the words of life. And the Lord said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to preach. I want you to preach. And I want you to command the wind to come from the north and to blow upon these bones so that there could be life within inside of them. I want you to know that oftentimes the preacher doesn't even understand. Because here stood Ezekiel over a valley full of dry bones. Nothing made sense, but he began to preach. And he commanded the wind to come and to blow like Kansas wind over those bones. And the wind came and it blew and it rattled the bones just like it's been rattling your house and the trees. It rattled the bones. And all of a sudden the bones began to come to the bones. And the bones began to be covered with sinew and muscle and flesh, but yet there was no breath within inside of them. Amen. And Ezekiel prophesied. Here it is. Ezekiel prophesied for the wind to come. Amen. And it blew. And there was breath that came into them. And before long, there was a great and a mighty army that stood before him. All because somebody got anointed to preach. That's part one. Part two is that even in their dead condition, amen, they were still able to hear the voice of God. I don't care how far they've gone. I don't care where they are in sin. I don't care if they're a murderer. I don't care where they are. The voice of God will reach down into the driest, the deadest, and the darkest place and begin to speak, amen, life unto those bones. And they can hear. And miracles can happen. And they who were dead in trespasses and in sins can be miraculous, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And they can come to an altar of repentance, and the breath of the Holy Ghost can come upon them. Amen. It can give them life. Amen. In the newness of life, old things can pass away, and behold, all things can become new. Why? Because somebody preached and somebody heard. I said, somebody preached and somebody heard. Praise the Lord. Now be seated. Because this is where I wanted to get to tonight. We have heard enough preaching to save the entire world. We've heard enough preaching to save the entire city of Augusta, Andover, El Dorado, Derby, Tawanda, Whitewater, Rose Hill, and that's just to get started. You've heard enough preaching in this church to save all of those areas. Then why aren't they saved? Why isn't this church filled to capacity? Why isn't this church much larger? Why isn't this church not already out on the highway somewhere with a magnificent, huge edifice? Why? I got your answer tonight. It's because whereas preaching has the potential to do it, there is a certain thing that must be prevalent in all of it. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 2 teaches us, amen, that the word was not mixed with faith. That's the problem. Oftentimes it's not the preacher preaching. Oftentimes it's not the ear hearing. It's the heart receiving. There's a heart murmur somewhere in the pew. It's okay for the doctor to come tell you, you got a cold. You got the flu. It's okay for the doctor to tell you, you got COVID. That's not necessarily okay. But you don't want the doctor to tell you, you've got cancer. You don't want the doctor to tell you, you got a heart disease. You got a heart issue. Because then things start getting pretty serious. And we begin to pull back. Hebrews chapter number 10. The last part of that chapter talks about those that pull back. Hebrews 11 and 1 is great. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. But Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 35, 36, 37. Amen. Talks about that we are not of those, amen, that pull back unto perdition. We're not of those, amen, that reserve, that when things get tired, amen, when things start popping, and when God bids us to come out onto the water, we're not those that step back and say, no. No. Not going to do that. I mean, preacher, I'll do a lot of things, but when you start telling me to get faith involved, I'm going to step back. You see, there's a power that is invested in preaching. There is a power that comes with preaching. But friend, you have got to take the preached word of God, and you've got to mix faith into it, and you've got to believe that the word of God that comes forth, amen, is right, and that it is right for you. I did not say that you're going to like everything that is preached, amen, but God, the doctor, knows what is best for us. Praise God. Amen. The doctor knows what is best for us. Amen. The doctor knows if you need a shot. The doctor knows if you need medicine, and medicine doesn't taste good. Amen. The doctor knows if you need chemo. The doctor knows all of these things. Now I understand we got King Jesus, and he can fix anything and everything. Amen. And we depend upon him, and we believe that he can do that. I'm just using this as an example here today. And I'm just stating that sometimes preaching is going to cross our grain. Preaching is going to cross what we believe. But it isn't all about what I believe. It isn't even about how that I feel about things. It goes down to the word of God. Now, we draw our opinions and our feelings according to the word of God. But friend, we've got to have the word of God. And when we have the pure word of God, it'll be quick and it'll be powerful. Amen. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it has the ability to get down into the joints and to the marrow of the bone and to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the power of preaching. Amen. Oh, God, help me
tonight. You see, there's this little area in our life, amen, that we're okay with everything else. But preacher, don't get on this little spot in my life. Amen. That's where we're going to cross swords. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. But oh, the preacher, amen, somehow or another, he gets into our business. He gets into that place that's sensitive to us. He gets into that place that I didn't want him to go. And how did he know that I was thinking those things? And how did he know that I was doing those things? And how did he know I was saying those things? And how did he know that I was listening to those things? It's a mystery to the preacher. Oh, but God knows, and God discerns the intents and the thoughts of the heart. How did that preacher know I was going there? How did the preacher know I was walking there? How did the preacher know I was wearing that? How did the preacher know I was doing that? It's a mystery a lot of times, but God knows. God sees the hidden things of the heart. Amen. And chances are, God has already been dealing with you about them. And then God takes the preacher and he begins to come forth and he begins to deal with your heart. You've got to mix it with faith and you've got to stand up and say, amen, I believe it. It is settled and I shall accomplish and obey it. You see, there is an importance. There is an importance. I didn't have the time to go look it up in the Old Testament. But there is an importance of responding to the Word of God. Amen. There is an importance. Now understand that responding to the Word of God is not simply jumping up and running up to the front and slapping and beating on the pulpit and screaming and saying, preach it, preach it, preach it. I know one preacher and he was admonishing his people. He said, if I'm yelling and screaming, you need to be yelling and screaming. If I'm preaching, you ought to be up here screaming, hooting, hollering, saying, preach it, preach it, preach it. If I'm fervent, you need to be fervent. The problem is they don't hear what he's saying. I want to stand up and just say, stop! What did he just say? Yeah. I don't know. Uh-huh. Yep. And so there will be times that we'll be responding like that. But there are times just like now, I shut it down. Let everybody worship. Let everybody respond. Go sit back down. Why? Because you need to listen. But friend, when you sit there like a bump on the log, every devil in hell sees that. The preacher's preaching about deliverance. The preacher's preaching about victory. The preacher's preaching about faith, preaching about love, preaching on law and whatever. And you got people that's saying, it's not all about response. It's not all about response. I'm listening. I'm listening. And you just sit there. And that's not right either. In the Old Testament, when they began to read the Word, you can go find it. That's like I said, I didn't have time to look it all up. But you go read in the Word, and the prophet, the preacher, the priest, he would read something, and the people were standing, and they would say, amen. And then he would read a little bit more, and they would say, amen. And he would read a little bit more, and they would say, amen. And what were they saying? They were saying, I agree with that. It is so with me. I believe that. And in doing so, when the preacher is up there preaching, he's preaching away and stuff, if you stand up and you say, amen, every devil in hell knows. They said there was this deaf boy that used to sit on the front row. And he had his interpreter that was
giving him the sign language. And that little deaf guy, he'd get to preaching with the preacher. And sometimes he wasn't even paying attention to what the interpreter was doing. And he would stand up and he'd be yelling and screaming, and then he'd sit down and he'd watch his interpreter. And finally somebody said, I got to find out what all this is about, because I know he can't hear. And so they went to the interpreter and said, I got some questions I want you to ask him. I said, okay. He said, ask him why that when the preacher's preaching, why does he get all excited and he jumps up and he's shouting amen in the preacher and he can't hear? So the interpreter signed him the question. He's like, oh. And he began to sign back the answer. What does that mean? One. You got it. See, you knew how to read sign language. You didn't even know it. This guy's good. He said, one. He said, first of all, he's signing. I don't know how to do sign language. He said, first of all, I want my preacher to know that I'm with him and I support him. Second, I want God to know that I'm with my preacher and that I support him. Three, I want every devil in hell to know that I'm with my preacher and I support him. Four, I want everybody in the church, backslidden, hypocrite, and on fire to know I'm with my preacher and I support him. You want to get the devil stirred up in your life, you start responding to preaching. Why? Because preaching brings life. Preaching brings miracles. Preaching brings deliverance. Preaching will set you free. Preaching will save. And when people start responding to preaching, something starts happening. Oh, let's love the Lord here tonight. I'm getting ready to close. But the devil hates it when the preacher shows up, because the devil knows that his hold on an individual is going to be contested. He gets very, very nervous when the preacher begins to show up. And they came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice. All Jesus is doing is preaching. But he cried out with a loud voice and he said, let us alone. What we have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One. And Jesus rebuked him and said, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, what a word is this? For with the authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, and they came out. I said, there's something about preaching. I don't care how bad the devil's got you locked up in a spirit of depression, amen, or in all kinds of sin. When preaching comes forth, all you've got to do is respond. And when you respond, God can set you free. That's why when you hear preaching on healing, you need to respond to it. Amen. Because it's at that moment that God can heal you. It doesn't mean that that's the only time that God can heal you. You can be walking through the day and just raise your hands and say, God, I thank you for healing me. And bam, God heal you right then. But friend, there's no better time than when the preacher's preaching on faith and he's preaching on healing, that you stand up and say, amen, I'm with that preacher. I am in agreement with the
the word of God. And as a matter of fact, I believe it and I accept it right now. And the power of preaching can bring healing to your body.
But it's got to be mixed with faith. It's got to be mixed with faith. Musicians, come. And sometimes preaching is your last call. Preaching can be the difference between life and death. And you better thank God that a preacher shows up. Because whether, listen to me here tonight, listen. Whether the preacher shows up or doesn't show up, you're going to be held accountable and judged. So that preacher just could never preach me out of my pew. It doesn't matter. The Lord came unto Ezekiel and he said, Son of man, if I tell you that I'm going to send the sword through the land, you better stand up and declare it. Because if you stand up and declare it and they don't respond to it, they're going to die, but your hands are clean. But if I say the sword is coming and you don't sound the alarm, I'll require their blood at your hands. So, preacher, it's on you. You declare it. But they have to receive and obey it. But friend, it doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter if you understand or you don't understand. I just don't understand what's going on. You don't have to understand what's going on. When the preaching comes forth and begins to pierce asunder, all you have to do is respond. Mix it with faith and reach out and grab it. And when God comes talking to you about some things in your life that don't feel too good to you, that's the sword coming. And you can either say, well, I'm not doing that, and you can be lost, or you can respond with obedience and be saved. But it's the power of preaching. Oftentimes, preaching is intense. Sometimes, preaching can be embarrassing. Yet if the preacher didn't show up and confront the issue, the story would be tragic. I wonder how many people are in hell today because a preacher refused to preach. And then there are those that are in hell today because a preacher preached and they didn't respond. But it all came, and it all happens by preaching. By preaching. How shall they believe upon him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? You got to have a preacher if you're going to be saved. I know God hath given us pastors according to his own heartbeat. And I'm not up here to try to inflate my box or to inflate my position. But we've got to have a pastor. And we've got to listen and we've got to be obedient. Because he's the one that's given an account for our soul. And that account isn't just on that great white throne judgment day. That would probably take an eternity just to get through the white throne judgment. If you think about all the billions and billions of people that have been upon the face of the earth and that are on the face of the earth, and now somebody's got to give an account for all of them. But I feel like it's much, much deeper than that. I feel like every time I go to God in prayer and I bring your name up, I'm giving an account. God, you see they're faithful to you. God, you see they're obedient. God, you see they do anything and everything. They're there. God, I don't have any problems with them. God, they're a pastor's dream. That's a good account. God, would you help them? God, would you be with them during this financial struggle? God, they've been faithful to you. God, their tithing and offering is like clockwork. It's there. God, would you bless them? God, would you come through for them? Would you help them? That's a good account. But if it's, God, I don't know if they're going to show up or not show up. I don't know if they're going to pay their tithe or not going to pay their tithe. They're hit and miss. God, it seems like every time I preach, they bow up. Harden their hearts and they're hard on their necks to it. Resist it. Every time I say something, God, they just clam up. God, I give them advice. They do the opposite. I tell them what they need to do. They don't do it. That's a bad report. And that's not profitable. I thank God for the preacher. Because without the preacher, I'd be lost. And it wasn't just a preacher that preached to me a message that called me to an altar of repentance. But it was the preacher that continued to preach year after year, year after year. And here we are, 31, almost 32 years later, and I still need a preacher preaching to me. The power of preaching. It's a spiritual aspect. To the world, it's foolishness. They don't understand. They don't understand. I was talking to a man last week, and he said, you know how it is. You're a preacher. You know how it is. You can only preach about 20 to 25 minutes, and that's all they're going to allow you to preach. And they tune you out. You can't preach 45 minutes. I thought to myself, if he only knew. I got to have a preacher. And don't just preach me happy. Preach me under conviction. Cause me to look at things in my life. Challenge me. That there would not be an evil heart of unbelief, bitterness, rebellion that would be in me. If you see me going astray, preach. 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 I need a preacher. We need the power of preaching. We need preaching like we heard this weekend. Preaching on faith. But we need to stand and respond to it. And it's not just for me, and I'm not talking about me as a preacher. It's not just for me as an individual. It's for the church. You understand that Brother Sam may be going through some things. And Brother Sam may be having a hard time responding. And he's been battling the devil. But when he sees and hears Brother Doug standing up and saying, preach! And when he feels another one of the young men put his hand on his shoulder and give him a good pat, we got to do this. And preaching starts being mingled with faith. And something starts moving and building. And the walls of resistance begin to melt.
It's the power of preaching being mixed with faith. And somebody's despondent and somebody's discouraged and somebody's depressed and they don't feel joyful and happy, but preaching begins to come and preaching about the joy of our salvation. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you think, I just don't feel very joyful stuff. But you hear somebody else. Woo! Preach! And all of a sudden you feel those chill bumps. You feel that unction starting to move on you. Just the power of preaching beginning to break down resistance. Carnal man doesn't understand that. Carnal man can't receive the things of God. But the spiritual man begins to reach. Oh yes. Oh yes. There's faith. There's light. Begins to come up out of that. Amen. Amen. And before long you find yourself up at the front. You find yourself with your hand raised. Amen. That's right. Preach. Preach. Why? Set my soul free. Deliver my soul from this vice. Deliver my soul from this discouragement, from this depression. Preach me out from under this depression. Preach joy down into my heart. I can't preach joy down into your heart if you don't open up. But if you open up, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You got to hear it, but you've also got to respond to it. You got to put your faith into it. You've got to embrace it. You've got to get a hold of it. Say, I believe that. I believe that. And so when the man of God comes and he begins to preach, it's right to stand and say, amen. It's right to say, preach it. It's right to say, I believe it. It's right to say, that is it is so in my life, in my heart, in my soul. It is so. It's right to do that because you're letting the preacher know you're with him. You're letting God know you're with him. You're letting the devil know you're with him. And you're letting everybody else in the church know, hey, I'm with the preacher. Can we love the Lord here tonight? Come on, let's love the Lord.